What a blessing we have that refuge to go to our Lord, to go to our Lord in prayer. Thank you, ladies. We appreciate that. Now take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. It's a chapter called the Great Chapter of Faith in the Scriptures. It presents to us that some of that cloud of witnesses that are mentioned in chapter 12 and verse 1, for those that have gone before us, whose lives are an example of the Christian faith. As we mentioned in the last message from Hebrews, sometimes it's of help when we can see something rather than just have it described to us. The picture being worth a thousand words is here we see it's being played out in the lives of these individuals in Hebrews 11. And today, as we look at Abraham, we look at his faith. I'd like us to see Abraham's faith. There in verse 8, it says, "For by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looks for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." What a blessing as we look at Abraham. We look at his faith. It's not been so long ago that we had a message on Abraham and his faith. It's interesting as we go to the scriptures, there is so much that is there. We don't exhaust it in one in one message, and thinking about that, I thought the message I have this morning is somewhat different than that before. I've had various times, various ones, as we go to the scriptures, we find its richness, the wonder of what is in God's Word. I had a man tell me once, he said, well, I've read the Bible years ago, and like now he knows all he needs to know. How foolish are men, not understanding the depths and the wonder of what God has. He wants us to be in His Word. He wants us to be meditating in His Word and applying it daily. And then what a blessing it is to see those things that God has as we study it and understand it more. But here, the first thing I want us to see here in this eighth verse is that faith in God is a faith that obeys. Faith obeys. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where he should, after receiving inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. God called Abraham. He had God's word. And it was that word there with promise. Back in Genesis chapter 12, if you go back, you begin to read there where the Lord called Abraham, and it said in the first verse, he says, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show you. And then he gave promise to him in the second verse, and he says, I'll make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make thee great, and thou shalt be a blessing. In the third verse, I will bless thee, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all of the families of the earth be blessed. God promised him that he would be a great nation. He promised that he would have a great name. He promised that he would be a great blessing to others. As a matter of fact, he promised him there even that we would be blessed through him. That all in him, through him, would be all the nations of the earth would be blessed. As I look at that, I see that promise the Lord made to him back here in Genesis. Then I see how that certainly played out in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we enjoy today is a part of that faith that was the faith as well of that of Abraham. God, in calling him, in fact, in the 17th chapter of Genesis, in verse 5, he changed his name. His name was, first of all, Abram. But in Genesis chapter 17, the Lord came to him and he said in verse 5, neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. Abram, the word Abram means exalted father. And certainly Abraham, it appears, was a great man when he left the Ur of the Chaldees. He went with his family, with his herds, with his flocks. But more than just that, the Lord says, your name will be Abraham. And it was part of that promise. Abraham means a father of a multitude. A father of a multitude, or chief of a multitude. He is one that it was part of God's promise to him that he would be, from him would be a great nation. That from him, and that his seed would be as the stars of the sky, as the sand of the sea, in the sense that it would be innumerable. So the Lord God, as part of his promise, changed his name. His name that would be a father of a multitude. And Certainly that was that which he lived with a name that was a promise that he did not see fulfilled until much later in his life. But yet it was part of that promise that God had made, and it was that which he learned to trust in. So Abraham had God's word when he told him to leave the Ur of the Chaldees, told him to leave that place, and told him to go to a place that he would show him. What we see in there is, in the middle of that verse, when it says he obeyed. He obeyed. Simple obedience. It seems here with Abraham there was just a simple obedience to the word of God. Some of you children have learned the song, obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. You know, you spell it out, O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. Obedience is the very best way. Just obey. He didn't have to understand. He just obeyed. What a blessing it is. What a blessing it is when one obeys. What a blessing it is to you as a parent when your child obeys. They don't stand up to you and say, "Well, I don't know if that's just what we ought to do. I'm just not sure that's right. I think I've got a better way." When a child has the audacity to speak back to their parents in such a way, without an obedient heart, it grieves us, doesn't it? It grieves us that there's not that obedient heart. What a blessing it is, children, what a blessing it is to your parents when they give you something to do and you just obey. You take that song that you've learned by heart and recognize this is the best way to show that I believe, to be obedient. And what a blessing it is to our God as he has called us to obedience. Abraham obeyed. With a simple obedience, he went out, not knowing where he went. He went out not knowing where he went. He didn't have any personal knowledge of where he was going. The Lord just said, "Where I show you, I will show you. But right now, I want you to leave." It's interesting, Abraham didn't say, we don't have any record of that, well, Lord, you show me and then I'll decide whether I'm going to leave. But that's the way we live our Christian lives sometimes, is it not? We want the Lord to show us and then we'll decide that's not obedience, that's where we put it all on ourselves. And Abraham had nothing but God's word. Abraham had nothing but God's word. God said, go to a place, you leave, and to a place that I will show you later. What did Abraham have? As I put that down in my notes, he had nothing but God's word. Yet with God, what did he have? With God, he had everything. With God, he had everything. We need to recognize the truth of that. If we have nothing but God's word to stand on, we have everything. We have everything. God must be the object of our faith. Are we not to have our eyes upon him? When we take our eyes off of him, then... and we set them on anything else, then we falter in our faith and then we fail. When we take our eyes off of him, it's then that we falter and it's then that we fail. As you look at Abraham, here we have Abraham as one of the great men of faith, and we're looking at Abraham's faith today. But Abraham's faith was not a perfect faith. Abraham faltered. When you look on in the 20th chapter of Genesis, when Abraham was there traveling as he was sojourning, and he was there and he came in the midst of Abimelech. Abimelech being a powerful man. And Abraham feared. He looked upon Abimelech's power instead of upon God. And it was there that he put his wife in jeopardy. It's there that he put Sarah in jeopardy. And even though there was some truth because of the relationship, he said, she's my sister. But she was his wife. And we see situations such as that. We see Abraham not as a man of perfect faith. This was a time, in fact, we see the Lord protecting Abraham in that time. In Genesis chapter 20 and verse 11, Abraham made comment when this came out. He said, "Because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they'll slay me because of my wife." He says, "Well, these people don't fear God." And where did he put his eyes? At that point, his eyes was not on God, but it was on Abimelech. He saw the power of this man, and he said, "This man will slay me because he's going to want my wife." Oh, how we need to look and keep our eyes upon God. Keep our eyes upon the Lord and not upon the situations around us. Don't have your eyes upon men. See, why do you bring that out in the message about Abraham's faith? Because we look at ourselves and we say, "Oh boy, I don't have a faith like Abraham." Abraham had to grow in his faith too. And even as Abraham left by faith, following the word of God, he had to learn to keep his eyes upon the Lord and take his eyes upon the situations around him, take his eyes from upon those things. That's why in the next chapter in Hebrews, we'll see that he says, "Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God." Look unto Jesus, who is the author of our faith. When we get there to Hebrews chapter 12, we'll be admonished. Again, keep your eyes on the Lord. Look unto him, who is the object of your faith. See, obedience is God's expectation of us. God's expectation is that we take his word and we believe it and we obey it. Not that we would do anything else, that we would have our eyes upon him. I think of the words that was given back to Saul, King Saul, in 1 Samuel. When Samuel said to Saul, who decided he had to take things into his own hand because the circumstances around him showed him that Samuel wasn't going to be there to offer sacrifice. And so he decided he was going to have to do it himself, even though he knew that was not appointed for him. And Samuel said to Saul on that occasion, he said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken is better than the fat of rams." And then he went on to say, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he's also rejected thee from being king." how important is it that we obey? And we be a people that are known for our obedience. I think of another song, another chorus that many of you have learned. Faith is just believing what God says he will do. Faith is just believing what God says he will do. Faith is believing God. It is believing what God says he will do. It's not something that is nebulous out there that we can't get a hold of, some kind of a thing that faith that I don't understand. Faith is just believing God. It's just believing God and then obeying him. So there we see in that first verse, in that eighth verse that we're looking at this morning, Abraham had a faith that obeyed. Faith in God is a faith that obeys. In verse 9, I believe we see that faith is that sacrifices its personal desires. A faith in God is a faith that will sacrifice one's personal desires. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. It says he sojourned. He is sojourning there, sojourning on promise from God. What does it mean that he sojourned? It means that he was a stranger in the land where he was. He was a stranger. He was residing as a foreigner. He left his own land. He left the land of his own country, his land of his own home. And now he's a stranger in a land, a place that he doesn't own, that he doesn't have. But he's there on the promise. He's there, the land that is promised him, and yet he's there as a stranger in that land. It goes on, as it says, it was a strange land, a strange country. It was that belonged to another. When Sarah, his wife, died, he had to purchase a plot for burying her in the land, in a land that was his, a land of promise. It says in Genesis 23, verse 19, it says he buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan, land that the Lord would give to him. But he was there as a stranger. He was there having nothing but the word of God, but yet he believed God. And so he believed there. He traveled there as a stranger in a land, having to live as a foreigner. But he bought that piece of property. Abimelech wanted to give it to him. He says, No, I will buy it. I will pay for it. It was the land which in the 25th chapter of Genesis we see where Abraham himself was there buried, along there with Sarah, his wife. But it says he dwelled in tabernacles. He was a stranger in a land, living in tabernacles, tents. He had no permanent place to live. The tents, the tabernacles were the place of his permanent residence. He had no home like he had back at home. Some of you like to go camping, but how would you like to live that way all your life? You know, a pastor friend who liked to go camping bought a pop-up camper. I remember the pop-up camper. In fact, we borrowed it one time ourselves to use. But his wife's comment was about wanting to go doing much camping. She said, no, why would I want to do that? I lived that way for the first 20 years of my life. I don't want to go back to living in a camper, in a tent. But Abraham gave up that permanent residence. He was willing to sacrifice. He was willing to sacrifice his own desires because there was faith in the Word of God. This verse says that it talks about the promises that were there for his family as well. He says he was there with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Abraham didn't just sacrifice himself, but his wife. His wife didn't have that home that she would have probably preferred. Their children, Isaac, Jacob, they were heirs with him of the same promise. You know, he taught them. They sacrificed with him. They were taught that they were heirs, that there was that which was to come. There was that was God's word that God had promised to them. He taught them they were the heirs of promise. There was the family burying plot. It was in the land of Canaan, though it was not in their land, a place they had to buy themselves. But he believed God. He believed God, and thus he walked by faith, knowing that the land he walked on was to be his and his family's as an inheritance. You know, when we follow the children of Israel, we see them always wanting to go back to Egypt. Always not wanting the sacrifice that they're having because they had their eyes back on those things that they enjoyed instead of their eyes upon the Lord. But one of the things we don't see about Abraham, we never read of his desiring to return to the Ur of the Chaldees. Obviously, his sight is upon God. His sight is on the Word of God and the promises of God. As you think about that, what personal desires have you passed on? Because your eyes have been on Jesus Christ and His ways. Your eyes have been set for eternity. Your eyes have been on the promises of God. You know, we don't need to enjoy everything that our hearts desires. We need to have our eyes on the Lord, being willing and a desire to sacrifice, to put those things aside, not that they're necessarily bad things, but if there's anything that would keep us from doing the will of our God, if there's anything that would keep us from obeying the things that God has given to us in His Word, we ought, like Abraham, we must, like Abraham, to by faith set those things aside. Abraham was willing to sojourn in the land as a stranger. He was willing to be in a place that was not his, and so consequently he didn't build houses and places there because he was only there temporary. It was temporary at the moment because he had the promises of God of what would be in the future. And that certainly takes us on to the 10th verse where we see faith's eternal perspective, the eternal perspective that there is to be there with our faith. But as you consider that, what personal desires of yours have passed away? Where you've taken your eyes off those things and just let them be? Because following your Lord and His Word is of so much greater riches. You know, I think of that. I think of Moses, who Hebrews tells us he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. Abraham here is a man that has sacrificed his personal desires because his eyes are set upon God. And verse 10 explains that, as I said, as we see the eternal perspective of Abraham. It says, "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." He looked ahead. The word "looked" that he had there is not just a word for seeing something, sighting it, but it's a word that means to look for, to wait, of waiting for with expectancy. He was looking with expectancy beyond what was there visually for him to see. He looked beyond human abilities. He looked, it says here, for a city. He looked there for a place of dwelling, it says, which hath foundations. What foundations did he have back in the Ur of the Chaldees? We don't know much about it. We know that there was idolatry in that place. The scriptures reveal that to us. You know, we take our foundations. We put our trust in foundations that we ought not to trust in. Maybe he saw what Solomon saw when Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." Maybe he saw all that vanity and recognizing that and look, having his eyes on the Lord, he could see that even though these things that he could see, that they were all empty. I don't know that. But we do know what it says here, and that is that he was looking ahead to a foundation that was of God. Where are your roots planted? Where are your roots planted? What is your foundation? You see, Abraham could sacrifice in his faith as he saw what God, he looked ahead. What he saw was God's word. And as he trusted in God and he had his eyes upon the Lord, the foundation of what he had was not important. Our foundations can be so torn away. I was thinking about that. I think of our nation, and our forefathers sought to give us a constitutional foundation for a lasting nation of freedoms. Men have trusted in that foundation. And yet as we see those chopping away today at the very roots of that foundation, we recognize that it will not last when the foundation is chopped away. When they've taken and chopped that foundation, we're not going to have that we have so enjoyed and trusted in. I was looking up some things that chop away at roots. You know, I found out some things about Japanese bean beetles. I found out that in their larva state, it says, I was reading this, it says, "These white C-shaped grubs live in the soil and feed on plant roots for approximately 10 months before turning into the adult Japanese beetle. The Japanese beetle often feed on vegetables, lawn grass, and young plant seedings. They're called root maggots that feed and destroy the entire root system of plants, eventually causing the plant to die. Vegetable plants often develop sudden and yellowing and wilting as they die because of something's eating away at the roots. There's not a real foundation there. What are you trusting in for your foundation? You're trusting in those things that you can see. You're trusting in those things that are around you. You know, the scripture reveals to us that everything that we see and know now is going to be gone. It's going to be gone. It's going to pass away with a fervent heat. Everything that we now see. But God's word abides forever. It says here that Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. That a foundation whose builder and maker is God. His foundation was God. I said when he had God, he had everything. His foundation was God. There was a city of God's promises, not of human origin, but a place of a habitation with the Lord. Does that help us understand Abraham's faith? You see, Abraham, as I said, was not a man that had a perfect faith. We see Abraham falter. We see Abraham at times trying to take things into his own hand, not seeing how God's word's going to be fulfilled. We saw that with Hagar and the birth of Ishmael. But oh, the Lord dealt with him. The Lord helped him. Abraham's faith increased until we see him there with Isaac and recognizing that the Lord asked him to take Isaac's life. But when that happened, we're told that Abraham saw that God would preserve some way Isaac, even if it meant bringing him back to life, because he knew that God had promised in Isaac would be those blessings. And so even when he told his servant to stay there, that him and Isaac were going to go on to sacrifice unto the Lord, he said that we will come back. Abraham had a faith that, yes, it was tried, and he faltered, but it was a faith where he learned, not just from the beginning and the leaving of the Ur of the Chaldees, but he learned throughout to keep his eyes upon God. And he recognized when he took his eyes upon the Lord and put his eyes upon the circumstance around him, it's then that he faltered. But when he kept his eyes upon the Lord, his focus, yes, he looked for a city. He looked ahead with expectation. A city that's had foundations whose builder and maker was God. Foundations that could not be eaten away at the root and destroyed. Those things that we hold as foundations in our life that aren't upon God are those things that those foundations can be eaten away. Just like the coming of the Japanese bean beetles can eat away at the roots of your vegetables and your crops. Remember the little chorus? With eternity's values in view. With eternity's values in view, Lord. With eternity's values in view, may I do each day's work for Jesus. With eternity's values in view. How do you live each day with your eternity's values in view? You keep your eyes upon the Word of God. And with God, you have everything. You see, faith in God does not just live for the day. Faith in God obeys him without question. faith in God obeys him without question. Faith in God sacrifices even your very personal desires and sets them aside as faith in God looks ahead with a great expectancy to the eternal promises that God has made. Abraham looked ahead. He looked ahead for that foundation, that city whose foundations, whose builder and maker was God. Where is your faith today? May we examine our faith. May we recognize that faith is not just something you can't get a hold of, but faith is in God. It is in His Word. That's why, as we begin this chapter, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that's not seen. That substance is the very Word of God. That substance is in the promises of God. We don't have to see the results. Abraham, most of what was promised to Abraham, he never saw. He did see his son. He did see the beginning of the fulfilling of some of those. But most of the promises he held to, it is of God. God has promised, and it's going to be. And he learned to live his life. I say he learned to live his life. Not just, it didn't just begin here with faith, but he had to learn. He had to have his faith had to be strengthened as he went through the trials of life and where he failed. But he ends here with a man with a true faith, a faith that is grounded in God himself. That's where our faith is to be. It's to be in God himself. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this example of faith that is portrayed to us in your word. We thank you for Abraham. Thank you for Abraham who, Lord, as we follow that faith, we can be called the children of Abraham. As we would have our faith in thee. Oh, Lord, we're a people that live by sight, but the just are to live by faith. So, Lord, help us to examine our hearts this morning. Help us to look at where we're living by sight, and, Lord, to put that aside and set our eyes upon Thee, and that we might be that example of those of the just that are living by faith. Pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.